4. So I'm going to start this record. Yeah, it's not on your handout. It's Acts 11:28.
So it's not the same famine with Joseph.
No. No, that was years earlier. So we're up to 2 Corinthians 8. So there is times, and today we'll mention some of our missionaries. We'll mention some things about our church and giving. And anyway, we said last week that giving is more for the giver than the givee. So when we give, Christ said it's more blessed to give than receive. And, you know, there's different ways of giving, isn't there? I know I've had a person who all of you would know just ask me, you know, we're not able to give much money, but, you know, we're trying to help the children's ministry. We're giving our time and resources. You know, they're buying coloring books or, you know, whatever. So there is different ways to give, and that's between you and the Lord. And it says here, we studied last week, that it's not according to what a man hath, but or it's not according to what he hath not, but what he has. So the principle is giving. So we need to give. And there's a pretty cool rule right here. If I can get Teresa, I'm going to have you read next here, I think. And we're going to start in verse 8. We're going to try to get through the rest of this chapter today. And 2 Corinthians 8. Yeah, chapter 8, verse 8. And Teresa, I think I'll have you read. Yeah, just verse 8. That's yeah.
I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love.
Now, what do you think? Why would Paul say he's not speaking by commandment? What do you think that means?
He's not told to do so.
Yep. Yeah, he's not that. And there's a little more specific. Any other ideas?
Well, it's not a commandment. They're not commanding. They're not demanding.
Yep. And some of this goes back even to the Old Testament. He said he's not giving them like a commandment that's under the law, like thou shalt give. You know, that's not a... So, and I gave you some other examples from 1 Corinthians 7 on your handout there. He says in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So there's several examples there. And Pam, I'm going to have you read verse 9, because I want us to tie this in with this commandment thing.
For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Yeah. Now, at the end of verse 8, he says he wants to prove the sincerity of your love. And so I gave you a ministry principle there. J. Vernon McGee said this. He said three books that the church worshiped God from: the Bible book, the hymn book, and what do you think the other one is? He said the pocketbook. You worship God with the Bible book, the hymn book, and the pocketbook. And so that's kind of what Paul's telling the Corinthians. He says, you say you love people, you say, prove it, prove the sincerity of your love. If you care about the church at Jerusalem, and that's where the church started at on the day of Pentecost. And so Paul's saying, like you said, Pam and Kevin, God is not commanding you to give, but in verse 9 that Pam read, here's what I think the commandment is, and he's letting them decide what it looks like.
grace.
The commandment is grace, and that's kind of weird to, and I probably shouldn't even call it a commandment. It's at least a principle. If you're saved, if you love people, it's going to be manifested in some type of giving. Amen?
Yeah.
And so that is, in fact, that's what Christ said, that Christians or His disciples prove their love one toward another. I'm not saying that just exactly right.
So you have to have faith that He can do more with the 90% than you can with the 100%.
Yes, that's a good quote right there. Say it again, Belinda.
You have to have faith that He can do more with the 90% than you can with the 100%.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the commandment or not, like be the parent and tell her, he's like, I'm not telling you this by commandment, but you gotta do this or you gotta behave like this.
Mm.
I always tell my kids, like, I'm not asking you to do this, but you know what to do.
Mm.
I don't know if like something like
yeah.
You know what's right.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the Holy Spirit. He pokes us. It's like, son, daughter, you know, you don't have to help people, but you know you should.
like they help us a lot. Like
yeah.
Helps with Matthew and everything. So
yeah.
They're gonna give something from them,
right.
Their time.
Yeah.
If they wanna do something, but not right now, they gotta do something else. Not for us, just for all of us.
Yeah.
The family, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, that's part of family. That is part of family. That's good. Thank you, Jaime. Well, he gives the example in verse 9 about Christ. And I want you to think about that. I gave you, Jesus was God. And He owned the universe. But He stepped out of the Godhead and He laid aside His riches. He took on the form of a servant to redeem man. And so Jesus now saves all who believe and grant them to be heirs with Him. So it says that though Christ was rich, for your sakes He became poor for our sakes, that we through His poverty might be made rich. That's almost the definition of grace, isn't it? It's to put aside what you want, like Jaime's saying, that the kids to be a part of the family and to give and to, I heard it this way in the church we grew up in, it's the grace not to do what you want, but to do what you ought. Not to do what we want, but to do what we ought. And then he gives a verse from verse, let's see, 10 and 11 and 12. I was going to jump over to Pam Anderson. Would you read 10, 11, and 12 for us?
And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as was a readiness to will, so that it may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not.
Thank you. I wanted us to see something here. Hey, Amita. I thought I had. Thought I had something here. Anyway, Pam, that's a reference from Exodus there in verse 12. and we said this a minute ago, it's accepting according to a man hath, and not according to he hath not. That's a reference from what I was going to have you put in your blank is just, I'm missing some of these, aren't I? Let me get it caught up here. The pocketbook, and then this example is manna. And I don't know why I remember this reference, but it's Exodus 16:16 is where the Lord commands him to gather manna, and it says every man according to his eating, so that he that gathers much has none left over, and he that gathers little has enough, or something like that. And so that is the example of giving, is not according to what you don't have, but according to what you have. And anyway, the example is manna. So that is a quote from the Old Testament. Does everybody have that in their center reference as a cross reference in your Bible? Does it?
Yeah, 16:11-16.
Okay. Good. So giving should be proportional, not disproportional. And sometimes it is maybe disproportional. Sometimes we said we give sacrificially. I mean, you give out of what you don't have. You give just trusting God that you're going to have enough to live off from if you give a certain amount. So that's good. So he says it's expedient that... And I gave you the principle there. When God burdens you to do something, do it quickly. Because he said there in verse 10, he says, they were forward a year ago. So a year ago they committed. And we don't do this here, but have you ever heard of a church that has like pledge giving? You have some of you.
The radio stations do it.
Yeah, you pledge to give so much a month.
Radio stations do it. TV stations do it.
And so some churches do it. I think maybe toward the end of the year, you just write on a piece of paper, you're going to give so much money. I think is the way it works. I don't know exactly. But this is kind of the principle. This is where they get the Bible principle from, doing that. And we don't do it here just so that we, you know, it doesn't become laborious or, you know, I have to give this week. You know, it needs to be of a cheerful heart. And so, anyway.
I make a point not to let my... tithe be an automatic giving. I mean, that's an option when you give online, because I enjoy to be able to sit down and click that and decide who I want to give an extra $5.
Yeah.
To me, it's like you're at the altar giving.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
That's very true. And I don't know if you ever feel this way. I mean, I came one evening, I think it was a Wednesday evening. I didn't come to church. I had to drop off something here, and I was meeting somebody, and, you know, the kids were out back playing, and it was just cool, like, you know, hey, you know, we help mow the grass that they're playing on, or you have a little, you know the kids, and soccer is going to be that way. It's like, okay, you know, we have a place that they can learn the Bible, and anyway, it's just very rewarding that way.
And that's an awesome opportunity that if you do that, praying, you know, pray that the Lord bless the kids.
Yeah, and even cleaning the church is like that. It's like, you know, we're vacuuming between the chairs where people are going to hear the Word of God right here, you know.
I was thinking that the other night.
Yeah, you were up on the stage and it's like, okay, we're going to be praising and worshiping from this stage, you know. So, yeah.
Make the stage look good.
Yeah. And when the lights were on it, there was more dirt up there than you thought, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just...
Money.
It doesn't get done every week because the cables and everything's in the way. But even
in the classroom, you know, I was going between the chairs, man.
Yeah.
People sit here and they listen to the Word of God or something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So readiness versus performance. you know, you can go to school for so long, or you can, you know, at some point you need a performance. At some point you need to implement and put into action what you've learned or what you know to do. And so that's, it says, do what you say you'll do. And I forget where I heard this. When it comes to giving, some people will stop at nothing. That's supposed to be a little joke. It means some people don't give anything. So that's a little bit of a joke.
There comes a time when you have to stop.
Right, right.
Because you don't want to run yourself short. You know?
Right, right. Yep, you got a budget. I think that's the right way to spell. Procrastination is the most used tool in Satan's toolbox, and that's what Paul is telling them here. That, you know, you guys were ready a year ago to give. You were ready, and so now there needs to be a performance. So now it's time to take action. So procrastination. And Paul Harvey has a great thing on that, and I can't remember all of it, but you could probably.
The Paul Harvey thing where he says, "If I were the other one," and he's
talking
about.
Yeah.
That's it.
In other words, you'd leave things just the way they are.
Yeah. Gets to the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the punchline.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to listen to him all the time.
Yeah, he was a good man. I think. Yeah. Tracy, we'll jump back over to you, sister. Would you read verse, let's see, 13 and 14?
Yeah. For I mean not that other men be eased and be burdened, but by equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, and there may be equality.
One more.
As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack.
Okay, and that verse 15 was the Exodus 16:18, looks like. So just talking about equality there, it's like other churches, and so he doesn't want other men to be eased and for you to be burdened, so he's not tell them to give what they don't have and be a burden to them, but there are some other people in need, and he wants there to be equality, and that they can supply that. And so that's the way it was in the early church. And, you know, one of my childhood memories kind of has to do with this. And I don't even remember the guy. I think his name was Truman. And not the president, but he was a neighbor of ours, and somehow he got sick. And I remember all the farmers went over and mowed his hay and raked it and baled it, and we put up hay for a neighbor. And it was just like, you know, this family, that the man in the house was sick and in you know, had a disease or something. And like I say, I was just a little kid. I didn't really have part in it, but I remember just like, wow, four or five of the farmers came together and raked and mowed and baled this guy's hay for him. That was pretty cool. And so that's the way it was a little bit in the early church, that some had need and other people supplied it. And so in verse 16 now, Rob, you got that?
But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the hearts of Titus for you.
So this word of this guy named Titus keeps showing up in this book. And so I did just a little word study here on Titus in verse 16. He comforted Paul with his presence and message. We looked at that in chapter 6, chapter 7, verse 6 and 13. And Titus had a deep care for the Corinthians. We've seen in verse 6 of this chapter, it talks about Titus. We think he was probably from Corinth, and he is a partner and fellow helper of Paul. And he is Paul's son in the faith. In fact, let's look at Titus for a minute, the book. Let's read 1:4. And Belinda, I'll have you read that when we get there. If we go to Titus chapter 1. Because Titus is in this book, so he's connected with these Corinthians here. And right after Titus, just read chapter 1, verse 4.
To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.
So Paul must have led him to Christ.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, that he led Titus to Christ. So Paul is writing the book of Titus to Titus. And then some of you, if you look at chapter 3, and does anybody have what we call a little, I think it's a postscript. At the end of chapter 3, there's sometimes a little paragraph about the book. Does anybody have that? Young Jim?
I think I did in the HBF Bible.
What does yours say?
It says, it was written to Titus, ordained the first bishop of the Church of the Cretans from Nicopolis in Macedonia.
Yeah, so they think that he was the first bishop or the first pastor of this church of the Cretans. So that's kind of neat. Even though that little comment is not part of Scripture, most people think it was kept with Scripture as a little footnote to the book. And so I give you a ministry principle here. It's key to have the right person to receive or solicit a gift. So what's going to happen here is I think that they're going to, when the Corinthians give, they're going to send the gift with Titus. I was part of the usher team at our previous church, and we helped, you know, collect the offering. And I don't think I was part of counting the money, but I know we had to, two of us always had to make a bank deposit. That's what we do here, isn't it? We always have two people with the money.
Where two people take the money, you know.
Yeah.
Just to go 2x2 when you're witnessing.
Yeah, even like going door to door, or Christ sends his disciples 2x2. So it has to do with accountability and just keeping everything blameless. And so, and then in verse 18, it doesn't mention Luke's name, but 17 and 18, Larry, we're up here to you. You want to read 17 and 18?
For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches.
Yeah, so they sent the money with Titus and with this brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. So these were reputable men, and I suggested that it's Luke, and some people think it might be Silvanus. So we don't fully know who this brother is, but I think he's also maybe called Silas. So here I put it could be Silas instead of Luke. Luke is with Paul at the end of his life. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about him. He was a physician, so this Luke is a physician. He traveled with Paul. Colossians 4:14 says that. And Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And Luke is also Paul's scribe. And so let's look here at 2 Corinthians 13. And it's got a little postscript, I think, here to our book. Does anybody have that little postscript at the end of the...
The second epistle to Corinthians.
Yeah. Go ahead and say it nice and loud, Kevin.
The second epistle to Corinthians was written from Philippi, a city of Macedonia, by Titus and Lucas.
So Titus and Lucas, that Lucas is probably Luke, and so there's where we think it was written to them from Philippi, a city in Macedonia. And Titus had part of it, and Lucas had part of it. So those are some things about those men. And I even put, I think at the end of Hebrews 13, is Timothy was mentioned as a bishop at Ephesus. So Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. Some people think that the Apostle John ended up at the church at Ephesus after he was on the Isle of Patmos. So that'd be pretty wild to be the pastor of a church where the Apostle John was one of the members. That'd be. So those are kind of some historical things. And I put here the history records that Timothy was martyred while attempting to stop a heathen procession during the festival of Diana. And you know, that was a big thing. There was a temple to Diana. And there was a female deity in Ephesus, and so he was martyred for trying to stop that. So that's pretty wild, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Where was that? I mean, Patmos?
I'm trying to think where he was at on there, Kevin. Is it on our map, Jim?
It's going to be up there. It's in the Mediterranean.
It is in the Mediterranean?
Turkey, yeah.
That says Paphos, but that I don't think that's it. You think it's
a tiny one?
Yeah, maybe one of these little ones in here.
They used it like as a prison, you know, escape from New York kind of thing.
Alcatraz. Yeah.
Like full of snakes and really rocky, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty rocky. They banished people to them.
So, in this line of giving, I think in our discipleship lessons, let's see, let me start this over. Let me go to this. Okay, this. Some of you were here.
Uh-oh.
There it goes. Some of you were here, maybe, in January of this year. Lance Yoder is our church treasurer. Mm-hmm. And he gave us an update. It was on a Sunday evening. So we do this once a year. And so I asked Lance to send me some of his slides this week. So just so you see kind of how our finances are at this church handled. And I think you probably know that none of the pastors or deacons know how much anybody gives. I guess that's not true because our son helps with that and he's a deacon. But only, you know, two or three people in the whole church knows who gives what. And so, but those are, like we say, they're the Titus and Luke's and Sylvanus's of our church. And so this is the study that they give. And I thought I'd try to make this real practical today. Hopefully you can see that okay. I don't know if you can see over there, Jaime. Kevin, can you move that map just a little bit? This is the number that we've set as a budget for our church, a little less than $500,000 to spend. And these are the percentages breakdown of ministry and missions. And I did this math this morning. If we take $454,000 and our church gives, let's see, that's not the right way to do it. Our church gives 11% to missions. So if we times that times 0.11, like percent, it's approximately $50,000. So our church gives approximately $50,000 or 11%. So that means the other 19% goes to ministry. We buy a few things. I think You know, we bought these videos that we're going to see later this year. We bought this little placard, and we're going to have some money for, you know, a dinner this fall for Christmas. So our class budget is $400 or $500 that we'll spend in this. So, and you know, the biggest one expense is probably the youth ministry. We do, you know, the fall harvest party. We do vacation Bible school. So those are all monies that are in ministry and missions. And so there's the salary, almost 40% of our church monies. We have Randy and Brian and our son, and Brianna's part time, and I actually get a fee for being facility pastor. So there's four or five people's salaries comes out of about 40% of our church money, and then 31% goes to facilities and grounds. And I know this is not really exciting stuff, but I just thought it'd be real practical. Just our electric bill, our house payment, you know, our mortgage payment. Yeah, the soccer field. And this was really the first year that I started budgeting. We're trying to budget an extra $5,000 for 3 years so that we'll have enough money to buy a new lawnmower. So we're hoping $15,000 will buy a new lawnmower. And this is the first year that we budgeted for that. We tried to budget a little money for the parking lot. I don't know if you see all the cracks, and you know, that's $15,000-$20,000 to, you know, fill the cracks and seal the parking lot. We do some painting. We bought carpet for the other side of this trailer. Just anything you see that comes out of this 31%. So how do we get there? How do we get this number? And so a lot of that number is really historical, but this is just kind of a snapshot. Who knows what a giving unit is? That's maybe new terminology. What's a giving unit?
Every month,
like a household.
Household, yeah.
That's not quite right, but yeah, like a household.
Oh.
So like me and Angie are two people, but we're one giving unit.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's so I think at the time we had 243 members, and that kind of fluctuates, but I mean any given Sunday was 160 to 200 people here on a Sunday morning, adults. We usually have 30 to 50 kids. And then, so what they did in these two, this is the average, median is the middle in Cass County for, I think there's 100 some thousand people. So this is like how much for a household. But then this is per capita per person. So this is saying the average, and I don't know if it includes adults. I don't even know where they get this data. But they're saying the average person in Cass County makes about $38,000. Yeah. And so there's just one more slide here. And like I say, I don't know where Luke and Lance got those numbers. So
Midwest is doing well financially compared to the rest of the United States.
You say it again?
Oklahoma is a poor state.
Yeah.
Detroit, I mean, Michigan.
What about Texas?
Now Texas got money.
Yeah, there's a lot of rich people there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're spending it on...
So here's the scenarios they come up with. If the average person makes 38,000, a tenth of that would be 3,800 per person per year. And if there's 137, so that's a little. That's a little more than, yeah. So if everybody, so that number is a little bit more than. But then this number is based on like per household. If it was 8,200 a year, you know, that would over double our budget. So anyway, this is what was presented at our, one thing I know, Gwen Arney, before Lance was our treasurer, most of you probably know Gwen Arney that passed. he tried to encourage people to give to the local church first, because there was a season where our pastors and our staff just across the board took like an 8% loss in pay. Like Pastor Brian and Kathy was the church secretary or admin at the time. So, you know, there were a few lean years that our Pastor Brian took, you know, willingly. Like, you know, the money's just not there. Ministry and missions needs to keep going. So they just took a cut in pay. And maybe that was around that time. So anyway, I wanted to give you that data. And then because this was part of the, and I, like I say, I don't know any numbers, but I know Gwayne Arney was burdened to support our local church before giving to missionaries. And some people may, I think his words were something like, you know, some people give their money to missions when our pastor's, you know, struggling with his family type of thing. So that was...
You're home before you take care of everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was Gwayne Arney's message. And so I listed our missionaries on your handout. I thought we might look at that for a minute and just be reminded who our missionary. So I think our church has close to 40 missionaries. And does anybody know how we distinguish between our two missionary types? What are you thinking, Pam?
Supported and approved.
Supported and approved. And so what is that difference?
There are some that we support. We make a commitment to support them every month. And then there's ones that are approved. We believe that they're on track and that they're following God's will. And if we would encourage that extra, the sacrificial gift, maybe.
Good. That's exactly right. And so I listed the 21 that are supported, and so we give monthly support to all 21. So that's where this number goes. Of this, so our church gives $50,000 per year, and we divide it up between these 21 men and their families. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the first one, and this may be in alphabetical order, I don't know, but Teresa, where is Brian Barry?
He's in Ireland.
He is in Ireland. So Teresa is the prayer team leader for Brian Barry, and he's doing well. We needed to pray for his visa. I read your note on that. So that he can stay there, and there's some things he really needs his visa. So we focus on some of these men and their needs. And now Justin Bedwell was just here at our vision conference. What part of the world is he in?
Africa.
And what part?
Zambia.
It was Zambia. The other guy was from Libya, wasn't he? The Rick. So Justin Bedwell is in Zambia. And Doug Carriger, how do you know him?
Wounded Spirits.
Wounded Spirits. And what is that?
That's for, like, military PTSD.
Yep. So he's a good man. And then Lee Carter. He's in the Dominican Republic. And so we're going to be taking a trip there in January. I'm going to lead that team. So, but Lee will be here this fall. They're going to take a 2-month furlough in the United States, and so we'll see him.
Is he going to be here for the Bible conference?
That's a good question. I don't know. He is coming this fall. I think, and he was October, November. I think the Bible conference is September. So maybe not. Brian Clark, where is he and his family?
Here right now, but he's in, would be to London. He's a missionary to London.
Yeah, so he's got a vision to, he preached here a month or two ago. And I think he spent 15 years, I think, in London. And little trivia you may not know, I graduated Shepherd School with Brian Clark. So I didn't hardly know him then, but that was before he went out on the field. So Joseph Flory.
Russia. Yeah,
it was Russia. I think they recently moved. They relocated. we don't keep as much track of him, and I don't know if I've honestly ever met him. I see some of his. Have you?
Yeah.
He's a small man. He reminds me of Royal a little bit.
They were in Siberia for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been in Siberia. So that's Joseph Flory, so we don't know as much about him, but we believe in the work he's doing. Joseph Hayden. I think he's Zambia also. And he was here not too long ago. Brian had his meet with him. So some of these guys were maybe just going out, but like Joseph Hayden and the Justin Bedwell, they're both in Zambia, I believe. And so those are people that some of our Living Faith Fellowship churches have sent out. And so we endorse them partly because of their good reputation and ministry from other churches of like faith. Joseph or Joe Hendringsman.
Oaxaca,
what country?
Yeah.
Mexico. Did you go there, Pam, or has anybody been there?
No.
I think there's a trip planned there, isn't there?
Yep.
Mitch Newland is connected with him, and he was sent out from Grace Baptist Church in Greenwood up here. So that's his sending church, and he did one of our conferences, and we fell in love with him as well. Cale Horvath. Where's he at? Huh?
Romania.
Nope.
Oh, Hungary. That's right.
He's hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's hungry for the Lord.
Yeah. And our son is in charge of his prayer team, and he's a young man, and he has really spent the last 2 years. He went over there during COVID, and he was sent out of New Philadelphia, Ohio, with Jeff Bartel. And anyway, he spent the last 2 years, he's learning Hungary, the language. He said it's Hungary. He act like it's in the top five most difficult languages, even more complicated than Mandarin Chinese, I think. So very difficult language, and he can read Hungarian now, but he hasn't yet preached, is the last I heard from. And then Jim, you said Romania. That's Doug Howie.
Yeah, Romania's Doug Howie. I like that one.
Yeah. What were you saying, Kevin?
I said I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's funny. He's a good man.
Yeah, kind of same testimony a little bit.
Okay.
Pradeep would.
Wait a minute. We got to get Dan Jalowick in there. Where's Dan Jalowick? He's also Zambia.
He's Zambia.
And he recently, you probably didn't know this, he is coming home to his sending church, Grace Church in Rochester, New York. What's that one called? That's where George Grace was from. George Grace's church. So Dan Jalowick is going to be their mission pastor. So when people come off the field like that, and he's taking so he's been over there like 7 years, and I think. But so we may stop supporting him now that he's coming home. Does that make sense?
Right.
So those are things, and essentially our mission board is our pastor team. So once every 3 months, we discuss all of these men on some level. And Larry, you said Pradeep Lima. Where's he from?
India.
Yeah. Yep. And it's the province of Orissa, and specifically there's a town called Rayagada. And so Rayagada is a city of probably 200,000 or 300,000 people, and he has a church in Rayagada, Odisha, India. And so Rajan Neopani, where do you think he's from?
India.
Real close. It's Nepal, to the north of India. Rajan, and he is a good man up there. One of his main things is a radio ministry. And he does some online discipleship, and he's really trying to reach the Buddhist. And so his radio station reaches into the Himalayas in China. And so he's got he's like personally writing to hundreds of Buddhists and trying to convert. And so there's pictures of him like by the microphone at his radio, and there's stacks of paper of all these people he's trying to disciple through the mail and stuff. So very busy man, and he really has a miraculous conversion story. I think he nearly died and was outcast. So Rajan is all these men have probably hazarded their life on some level, but Pradeep and Rajan for sure. Andrew Ong, where's he at?
Vietnam,
yep. And I think Pam, your grandson is like their prayer team leader. Is it Jackson?
Jackson.
Laverne.
Larkin.
Yeah, that didn't sound right. So Andrew Ong, he's been over there about a year now. Doug Pearson, Doug Pearson, where's he at?
He was in Cambodia. Is he back in India now?
Yep, he's in India. He's working primarily with Ganesh, and we'll talk about Ganesh here in just a minute. We started supporting Stetson Plank a little. You probably don't know him. He's from Italy. He is witnessing in the northern part of Italy to Catholics. And so wanted to give you his name. Shiloh Center, we give a little to Shiloh Center right here in town. Who's the leader of that?
Carol Thompson.
She's in our Bible Institute now, and little trivia, Angie discipled her. So Carol's a key person here in our own town. Derek Thomas, where do you think he's at?
Plays for the Chiefs.
Different Derek Thomas. This guy should be more famous than that guy. He's in the Ukraine. Good job, Leo. So we have somebody at Ground Zero, very near the war in Ukraine and Russia. And then three more here. Arion Vogliai. What's he doing?
He was an Albanian.
He is an Albanian. I think he married Jeff Bartel's wife's... he is Jeff Bartel's wife's brother. He's Jeff Bartel's brother-in-law.
Okay.
And he is 2 years into a three-year process to interpret the whole Bible into Albanian from the Textus Receptus. So from a King James. So we support him in his, he's a crippled man. So when you see him, he'll probably be in a wheelchair, but they're
in the States now though, right? Doing that.
I think they may be in the States. So very excited about the work he's doing. He's probably a year or so from having a completed Bible of the correct text. And then, Ganesh, how do we say his last name?
That was like Joaquin.
Okay. And you probably don't know this, but Ganesh is like one of the Indian gods. I think it's the elephant head is Ganesh. And so that's kind of cool that we have a pastor who's preaching the Word of God with the name of an Indian god.
Right, so they would be drawn to him because of his name.
But yeah, maybe so. And he just got done preaching to several thousand people out of the back of a pickup truck. Like the pickup truck's moving through the streets and he's preaching with the megaphone. And he likes to call himself, and he's probably not wrong, he wants to be called like the Billy Graham of India. And when he was in the United States, he went to Billy Graham's burial site and he actually preached in front of the White House. He went to Washington, D.C. and preached in front of the fence that's around the White House. He preached in outdoor preaching there. And then lastly is...
He preached here.
Yeah, in the park.
Sitting in the park. Yeah. People are like...
Yeah. He's bold.
Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Crusader.
Yeah. And we're waiting to hear the results of his daughter's test. His daughter's trying to get in, had to take an exam to become a physician of some type. And then Eddie's this, and we'll almost, he is in the Philippines, and I missed it when he was here, but I hear good things about him. And so let's just read this bottom part of our handout about grace now. And yeah.
Leah feels like God has called her to witness to Muslims and Indian people.
Who?
Leah, her daughter.
Oh, wow.
So pray for God to give her safety.
That'd be a good way to end our time together.
The attention needs to have a hidden VPIN number, but I need to plug her into these missionaries that are specifically in India.
Yeah.
What's her last name?
Oh, Alex.
Alexi
Zip. Wow. Yeah. I think he's pretty humble, but he's a pretty key person.
I've been praying for Mike Blake, too.
Well, let's read this last thing on grace here, and then we'll be closed up today. And then we'll pray for Leah. So it is interesting to note that in each of Paul's greetings to the seven churches in the New Testament, he writes, "Grace be to you and peace." And he says the same thing in a couple of other of his books. And every time the word grace appears before peace, or prior to peace. The reason he doesn't say peace be unto you and grace is because the order of these words are important. We must experience God's grace prior to having His peace. 1 Peter 5:10 calls God the God of all grace. And in Romans 16:20, He is the God of peace. But we can only have His peace as a result of receiving His grace. Titus 2:11b says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Have you received that salvation? I think most of us here have. We, maybe probably all of us. In Acts 15:11, Peter said, "We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved." Do you believe that? Hebrews 13:9 says, "It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." Has your heart been established with grace? If so, Colossians 4:6a instructs us to let your speech be always with grace. 2 Timothy 2:1b tells us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 3:18a tells us to grow in grace. So friend, don't be a disgrace by remaining lost, but rather come boldly unto the throne of grace and find grace this very moment. That's part of a little invitation I wrote. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let's close in prayer and yeah.
On number 3.
Proven.
Proven.
Yeah, I guess I had prove or proven on there twice, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Teresa. All right, let's pray and we'll close. Lord, I do thank you for this group. Thank you for this study of your word from 2 Corinthians 8, Lord, as just as the Corinthians were prompted to give from the grace that they've been given. And Lord, do thank you for your grace and how fortunate we are in this dispensation to not have to do works or anything to earn our salvation. So we thank you for Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. We love you. We thank you for each of our missionaries and their wives and families, and we thank you for this local church, and Lord, we support it because it supports you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be with Leah. Rob, I'm glad you keep coming, brother.